Hey guys, once again, welcome to Echo Church Online. I am really excited to begin our brand new sermon series today called In God We Trust. In the midst of the chaos that is 2020, I want you to know this. In the depths of your soul, there is a God you can trust. Hey, before we jump into the message, let me share a few important notes with you. First, it was a lot of fun to see our church family worshiping in so many ways last Sunday. We had a special in-person opportunity at Avon Middle School South, and many of you joined us online also. We'll continue to provide a great online opportunity for you each and every Sunday. We're also preparing to officially regather on Sunday, December 13th. So please make plans to join us for that. It's going to be wonderful. Before that, we'll have one more in-person worship opportunity on Sunday, November 22nd. Let me personally invite you to join us. In fact, that is a very special gathering called Legacy Sunday, where we come together to echo God's love in two powerful ways. First, as we head into the holidays, we want to bless our mission partners. Second, as we look ahead to a new year, we fuel the vision of Echo Church. That Sunday, we invite everyone to participate in what we call our legacy offering, which we use locally to feed the hungry, house the homeless, and to help the hurting. Nationally, we launch new church plants. Internationally, we plan to partake in our first global mission trips as soon as we are able to travel. Moreover, your generosity helps Echo Church thrive in 2021. Despite the challenges of our current year, we've never reached more people and we've never been more generous. We don't want to take a step back. We want to race forward with our mission to echo God's love across our city and beyond. We want to invite everyone to participate. However, since the beginning of Echo Church, we have never asked people to give, and we won't start now. Unapologetically, we will ask people to pray. In fact, will you do that? Will you simply pray, God, how do you want me to participate? How do you want our household to contribute? And then do what God says. We trust you to pray and to follow God's leading. You can give in person on November 22nd. You can give online as well. In fact, the Legacy Offering Fund is already open and available online. Whenever you're ready, please text the word legacy to this number, 94253, and there you can share how much you'd like to give, and you can share your prayer request with us that you have for the new year. We'll also have a tangible way for you to participate. Food insecurity continues to rise, so we'll partner with Hendricks County Food Banks to stock their shelves. You can bring those non-perishable food items on November 22nd. Hey, every year our generosity has grown, and I cannot wait to see how we echo God's love across our city into the nations this year. And listen, let me share one more really important note before we hop into the message today. We know everyone is in a different situation. With the pandemic, some people have actually done really well financially, while others have faced great challenges. So listen, whether you can give generously this year or if you actually need help, this is your church home. We are all in this together. Be as generous as God leads. But if you need help, please let us know. Back in September, I let you know that we made an investment in your financial health. This began with inviting you to participate in Financial Peace University, and many of you took us up on that. It's completely free to anyone that wants to take the course. That is just the beginning. Regardless of where you are in your financial journey, you probably want to take some next steps as you plan for the next year. So I also want you to know that every online resource provided by Dave Ramsey is available to you through our investments, available to you completely free. From budgeting tools to financial planning, all you have to do, text the word STEPS to 94253, and in the comments section, let us know you want access to Ramsey Plus. That's it. There are free financial apps, a teaching series, and lots of great resources. We've made the purchase for you, so please take advantage of this. Just text STEPS to 94253 and write Ramsey in the comments section. All right, listen, if you're ready to jump into this brand new sermon series today, type this online, in God we trust. Come on, there's a lot of noise all around us, and perhaps you feel yourself grasping for an anchor. Perhaps these days more than you can remember in the past. God is worthy of your trust, and He wants to be your anchor. Type it online, in God we trust. Now that's of course a popular phrase in American history. It's written on our currency. It's a popular saying for people of faith. If I spent the rest of my life communicating only one message, it might be to courageously trust and follow God with your whole life. I believe it with my whole being. But can we be honest as we start off today? Believing the statement intellectually and living it out personally are two very different things. It's great to say, in God we trust. But when God tells you to do something, can we be real? It's not always easy to follow. When times are tough, it can be especially difficult to trust that God is working behind the scenes for your good. One of the earliest verses that I learned and memorized after becoming a follower of Jesus is Proverbs 3, verses 5 through 6. Some of you probably know it too. It says this, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to Him, and He will make your paths straight." It's a wonderful verse written on walls and plaques, but come on, let's be real. Most people, even followers of Jesus, don't trust God with all their heart. We want God to make our paths straight, but we don't submit to God in all our ways. We give parts of our heart. We submit to God in some of our ways. But what if in this series we learn more and more to give God everything? What if in this series we allow God to grow us up in our faith in new and powerful areas of our lives? And maybe for you it'll be in your relationships. For someone else, maybe it's time to begin trusting God with your finances. For someone else, God has been knocking on the door of your heart to be a voice of hope in your daily sphere of influence, at school, at work, or in your neighborhood. Perhaps as we head into the holidays, you need to trust God with your witness to family and friends. I don't know what it is for you, but what if you gave God access to more of your heart? What if your paths became straight because you learned to submit to God in a new area of your life? And I love the imagery that Solomon gives us in this passage. To lean not on your own understanding, but to lean on God. God is much bigger than us. God has significantly greater vision than we have. Solomon says, lean not. Say it out loud at home, lean not. The Hebrew word for lean is sha'an, and it means to trust, to lean on, or to support. It's kind of a word picture, meaning where you place your weight. If you lean against something, you're trusting it to hold you up. Our family recently traveled to Disney World, and I was reminded of the importance of choosing wisely where you place your weight. The girls and I were in line for Big Thunder Mountain, one of our all-time favorites. And I don't know about you, but when I'm waiting in lines at amusement parks, I'm always looking for a place to lean, a spot to place my weight. My back is aching and my legs are tired, and at one particular area of the line there was a short wall with a window above it. And just as I was leaning back, the line started to move and the girls began to walk away forward. The only problem is that I didn't stop going backwards. And what I didn't realize is that my big booty had hit a lever. I was not leaning against a short, immovable wall. I was actually leaning against a short doorway with a big lever. And when my butt hit the lever, I kept falling out the door and I almost fell off a Big Thunder Mountain. Luckily, I eventually caught myself and only made a small fool of myself. Ella and I went on the ride later, and this time I took a photo of the door for you to see. Here it is. I keep laughing, thinking that the girls would have turned around and I would have just vanished out of thin air. Come on, listen, it matters where you put your weight. In fact, that's the title of today's message. Write it online. Where's your weight? Now, I'm not asking what is your weight. Come on, most of us have put on some COVID pounds. So I'm not asking how much you weigh. I'm asking, where's your weight? Where's your trust? Are you leaning against something that's going to move, like your own wisdom or understanding and that of the world? Or are you leaning against an unchanging, immovable wall like God's wisdom, upon which you can place all your weight, all your trust, all your obedience? Type it online, where's your weight? Now listen, no matter how hard it is to trust, you will never regret placing all your weight on God. God is worthy of your faith. God can hold up all your weight. What are you leaning on today? Where's your weight? If you have a Bible at home, you're welcome to turn to Luke chapter 5. And we're going to see one of the disciples transform their trust in Jesus. Just like it is for us, they had to learn and grow and get better. They faced real life situations where they'd have to trust God even when it didn't make sense. I want to teach us two prayers that we can pray in our own lives and ask God to grow us in trusting Him with more and more of our heart. 2020 has been tough, but we're not going to retreat. No, we're going to leverage this difficult season to rise up in Christ. In the story, one morning, a large crowd is pressing in on Jesus as he was standing by a lake. Jesus wanted to teach them, but the crowd was pushing him into the water. Two boats were sitting nearby, and Jesus hopped in one of them. The fishermen that owned the boats were nearby cleaning their nets. They had caught nothing all night, and they were sulking off to the side. Jesus asked one of them, named Simon, to put out a little into the water. Jesus sat down in the boat and he began to teach the crowd. And now let's join in with the story. It says this, "And when he had finished speaking," talking about Jesus, "he said to Simon, put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. And Simon answered, Master, we toiled all night and took nothing." Jesus finishes up with his teaching. They're on the boat and Jesus says, "Let's push out to the deep waters." And Peter obliges. Now listen, I think it's interesting that when Jesus wants to grow Simon in the area of trust, he first says to him, put out into the deep waters. I think Jesus is saying that to many of you listening today. I want to grow you in your trust in me, but I need you to put out into the deep waters. We can't stay close to the shore. We've got to push out. You can't lean on me with all your heart in the shallow waters. You've got to push out into the deep. And then he tells Simon to let down his nets. And do you remember Simon's response? Listen, we worked our butts off all night and we caught nothing. And there's actually an exclamation point in the story. Nothing. And if we could put ourselves in Simon's mind for a moment, listen, he respects Jesus enough to do what he's asked so far, but Jesus isn't a fisherman. Simon is. It's likely that he comes from a long line of fishermen, and he probably knows those waters better than most. He's busted his butt all night, and this rabbi has the audacity to say, "Let's go fishing." And Simon's thinking, there are no fish to catch. They were already cleaning their nets and calling it a day. They were tired, they were frustrated, and this teacher tells them to try again. Now, how many of you know that there are times that God will ask you to do something and it doesn't make any sense to you? So often, God will ask you to place your trust in Him, but it really pushes you to your limits because you can't get your mind around it. It's all over the scriptures. Jesus will say, don't worry about tomorrow because tomorrow will take care of itself. Super easy to quote to someone else, but really tough to live out. Somebody needs to worry about something, right? Like, haven't you seen our country? Or Jesus will say, bless those who persecute you. Again, easy advice to pass on, really tough when you have a work environment that's toxic. We read Solomon's words earlier, lean not on your own understanding. Okay, but who's going to pay the bills? Now listen, sometimes what God asks us to do can feel unreasonable. I can't see you, God. I can't always feel you, God. And this leads me to the first prayer I want us to learn today. Write this down. Number one, Lord, help me to trust you even when I don't understand. You can quietly pray that in your own heart right now. Lord, help me to trust you even when I don't understand. In essence, this is what Simon does. I don't understand you, Lord, but I'm going to obey you. Jesus asked Simon to let down the nets. Listen, at home, online, come on, say that out loud, write it down, let down the nets. Come on, let down the nets. Here's all of Simon's response. Master, we toiled all night and we took nothing. But at your word, I will let down the net. I don't understand it, but I'll still obey because it's you. This doesn't make sense to me, but because it's you, I'm going to obey. In fact, Simon teaches us that you don't have to understand completely to obey immediately. You don't have to know how the story ends to keep turning the pages. When we think of obeying God, we usually think of the big things like moving to a new city or starting a new career. And those are things we definitely want God's input on. But I've often found that when God is growing our trust, He starts with small things. And here's what's so amazing. Often, the small acts of obedience lead to some of the biggest results, the largest blessings, and some incredible miracles. In fact, it's hard to recount all the times over the years that this happens. Someone will come to my mind and I'll send a quick text of encouragement to let them know that I'm praying for them. And over, people will text me back, "How did you know? I really needed prayer and you reminded me of God's love." It was a simple act of obedience on my part that actually meant so much to someone else. Or, I love the story that a friend of mine would share. He's a pediatric dentist and he loves to care for the families in his office. He was consulting with a family that did not have insurance when he felt prompted by the Holy Spirit. He and his wife were attending a Christian marriage conference soon, and he felt like he was supposed to invite them and pay their way. Now, he was afraid that he might offend them, suggesting that he had more money than they did or that their marriage needed help. He didn't think either of those things. He just felt prompted to bless them. In the moment, they were excited at the opportunity and they actually decided to attend. My friend ran into the husband at the conference, and in tears, the husband shared how he and his wife were beginning to talk about divorce and they didn't know how to get help. And when my friend invited them to a marriage conference, they knew that God was with them and that they could not give up. It was a small act of obedience that led to great results. One small act of obedience can have big results in your life too. Do you remember what Jesus told Simon to do? You said it just a moment ago, let down the nets. Simple action. Didn't make much sense, but Simon listened. And in letting go of the nets, Simon made it possible to grab hold of Jesus. Are you with me? He lets down the nets and now he can hold on to Jesus. In other words, instead of trusting in his ways and his wisdom, he can now lean on Jesus. He can place his weight on the trustworthiness of Christ. Do you remember back to Proverbs 3, verses 5 through 6? The first phrase of that passage, trust in the Lord. The word trust in Hebrew is betak, and it can mean to hold on to. Peter is learning to let down the net, which represents his wisdom, and to hold on to Jesus and lean on his ways. It's moving to a place of letting go of your own understanding, your own plans and desires, your own will and comfort, and holding on to Jesus, the rock, the anchor, who will never let you go and never let you down. Anything else that used to bring an illusion of security begins to fade in the presence and strength of Almighty God. It's holding on to the promises of God. You never leave me. When I draw near to you, you draw near to me. He's close to the brokenhearted. He saves those who are crushed in spirit. He's my refuge and my strength. He's my help in times of trouble. In order to hold on to the goodness of God, you may have to let down some nets, some old ways of thinking, and begin leaning on the faithfulness of a God that loves you beyond your comprehension. Lord, help me to trust you even when I don't understand. Now, Simon didn't know the outcome, but he trusted. The outcome isn't your responsibility. The outcome is God's responsibility. Trust, obedience, that's your responsibility. And God will prompt you in some way. He'll invite you to greater trust. And what you'll discover is that big miracles often follow small acts of trust. In the story, Jesus says, "Let down your nets." They obeyed, and it says this, "And when they had done this, they enclosed a large number of fish, and their nets were breaking. They signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and to help them. And they began to fill both boats so that they began to sink." our first prayer, do you remember? Lord, help me to trust even when I don't understand. And here's the second one. Lord, help me surrender what I cannot control. Come on, someone needs to pray that in their heart right now. Lord, help me surrender what I cannot control. There is a significant transformation taking place with Simon in this story. He respects Jesus. He's listening to Jesus. He has small actions of obedience, letting Jesus use his boat, putting out a little, going into deep waters, letting down the nets, and then his eyes are opened. He catches so many fish, his nets cannot contain them. He's a fisherman, but he's never had a catch like this. And they holler at their friends, and both boats are filling up so much that the boats are sinking. And Simon's realizing that Jesus is more than an average rabbi. He's more than a prophet. Jesus is the Messiah they've been looking forward to for generations. And Simon's response is so real and so raw. Here's how the story concludes. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching men." Simon was in awe of Jesus, and he realized that on his own, he couldn't stand in the presence of the Holy One. But Jesus says, "Simon, listen, I've got such great plans for your life. You've been working for fish, but I'm going to transform your talents, and now you'll fish for people." Jesus calls him to greater trust and new heights, but it began with small actions. And watch what happens. Look at what takes place. And when they had brought their boats to land, they left everything and followed him. Come on, take in the scene. The story begins with Simon and his fishing partners cleaning their nets after a disappointing night of fishing. They are fishermen. Their nets, their boats, this is their livelihood. In the middle of the story, they let down their nets, but they never let go of them. They would hang on to a rope so that they could pull in the catch. But in this last scene, what happens? They leave their nets. At first, they let down their nets, one small act of trust, but now they leave their nets, a big act of trust, so that they can have an even greater catch. An even higher calling. All their hard work, all their security, all their planning for the future, they leave it behind and they trust Jesus with what's ahead. Let me ask you, what are the nets in your life? Where is God asking you to let down the nets? Where is Jesus inviting you to small acts of trust? What areas of your life have you been leaning on your own understanding? What parts of your life have you yet to place your weight on Jesus? You're leaning on a door that's moving, and Jesus is inviting you to place your whole weight on him. You've been making your plans. You've been working it out your own way. You've even told God, "God, if you'll just provide this, or if you'll just move that, then I've got it from there." And Jesus is inviting you to lean wholly on him, to give him all your weight, all your trust, to say, "I'm letting go of my plans. I'm trusting you in every area, not just some." Listen, for some, God is inviting you to let down your nets and trust him with your next step. For others, God is inviting you to leave your nets, to leave behind your way of doing some things, and to go all in with him. And here's what I want you to know. God is worthy of your trust. God will never let you down. His understanding is greater than yours. His vision is higher than yours. His love for you is beyond what you can comprehend. His goodness is such that he sent his own son to die on a cross for you. You can trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. You can submit to him in all your ways, and God will make your paths straight. There's an Old Testament verse that I want to close out with. I think it will help some of you make the swap, the transition from trusting in your ways to trusting in God's ways. David writes this in Psalm 20, verse 7. "Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we We trust in the name of the Lord our God. Do you see the difference? As the king, David leads a nation and commands an army. And as he surveys the other nations, he says that some trust in what they can see. And David's saying, I place my weight, I lean on my God. They trust in their mighty chariots and horses. I trust God. Their hope, their faith, their trust is all in what they possess. But my hope, my faith, my trust, it's in the name of the Lord our God that loves me, that fights for me, and is worthy of my weight. He's getting it all. So what about you? Where's your weight? What are you leaning on? Some trust in the stock market, while others trust in the strength of their company's contribution to the economy. Some lean on their bank account, and others in their medical report. But listen, if 2020 has taught us anything, it's that we have far less control over our lives than we once thought. You don't have the power to control everything, but you always have the power to surrender to a God that's over it all. Will you hold on to the illusion of control, or will you hold on to the anchor that will never be shaken? Is your faith in who holds an office or in the one who sits on a throne? Some trust in chariots and some trust in horses, but we're going to trust in the name of the Lord our God. I want to challenge you to get your hope up, to get your faith up. Let trust arise in you today. Think about Simon and the other fishermen. When did the miracle come? When did Jesus step into their story? When they had given up hope, when they were frustrated, when they had tried all their skills, all their talents were exhausted, all they knew to do had been tried. And Jesus steps in at the end of a frustrating day. The miracle comes when hope had been lost. And I don't know where you've given up hope, but I want you to hear today, Jesus wants to meet you right there in the marriage that's hanging on by a thread. Listen, Jesus wants to meet you. Another person is trying to climb out of debt. Someone else is asking for a medical miracle. Another person is dealing with loneliness. And I don't know what it is for you, but I want you to know from the bottom of my being, listen, I want you to hear this. God loves you and God has plans for you and God isn't done with your story. He has joy waiting for you. He has hope in your future. He has good things coming that you can't even see today. He's good and he's in control. He has more for you. He's still with you. Do not give up. Do not throw in the towel. Keep fighting that addiction. Keep striving. Keep holding on. You can trust God even when it doesn't make sense. You can surrender to God what you cannot control. You're placing all your weight, all your trust in God. Come on, if you receive it today, will you pray with me right now? Father, help us to put our trust in you, to let go of whatever we've been holding on to and to hold on to you. We thank you, God, that when we draw near to you, you draw near to us. And what we may discover is that we're not really just holding on to you, but God, we thank you that you're actually holding on to us. We put our trust in you. We continue to believe. Listen, for every hurt, for every sickness, God, for every crushing disappointment, we lift up before you. And we thank you that there is a name that is above every name. And his name is Jesus. We put our hope in you. Hey, as you keep praying today, there are those of you that you may recognize. You may be saying, I don't really have an ongoing hope and trust in God. You may kind of believe in God. You may even want to trust in God, but you haven't put your whole hope and trust in him. And let me be just as clear as I can of who Jesus is. He is the Son of God. He was perfect in every way. He never ever sinned. He invited people like Simon, a very lost and rough, rebellious fisherman, to leave everything to follow him. He came for those who were hurting. He came for those who were broken. He gave his life as a sacrifice on a cross for the forgiveness of sins. On the third day, God raised him from the dead so that anyone, and this includes you, who calls on his name will be saved, will be forgiven, all your sins washed away. Today, as you're watching online, there are those of you you recognize that you don't have that peace. You don't have that joy. And maybe you're watching today. Listen, it's not an accident. It's not a coincidence. You're here because God loves you and He wants to reveal Himself to you today. So what do? You hold on to Him today. Believe that Jesus is enough. Those of you who say, yes, I want to let go of my sin, my life, my past, even my own security, and I want to hold on to Jesus. I want to follow Him. I want to surrender my life. I need Him. I trust Him. Jesus, today by faith, I give you my whole life. That's your prayer. Listen, if you're ready, now's the moment. You need His forgiveness. You need His grace. That's why you're here. This is your moment. You say, yes, Jesus, today I give you my life. Right now, pray with me. Don't wait. Don't hold off. Today is your day. Pray out loud, or you can pray silently in your own heart, something like this. Jesus, I give you my life. I believe you died to forgive me. I believe you rose up from the dead to make me alive, and today I choose to follow you. Guide me to follow you with my whole life. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, let me be the first to celebrate this important spiritual step with you. I'm so proud of you. And I want you to do something before you do anything else. Come on, put everything else down and do this. You cannot walk this journey with God alone. You need a church family. So right now, text the word STEPS to 94253. And on the form that we'll send you, check the box letting us know the spiritual decision that you made today. And it will be our honor to follow up with you and help you know your next spiritual steps. Do that right now before you do anything else. Hey, in just a moment, we'll continue to lift our voices to the powerful name of Jesus and spend time in God's presence as we finish up today. But let me just give you some super quick notes before we do. For anyone that's wanting prayer, maybe you're interested in baptism, or you're just wanting to take some spiritual next steps with God, come on, text the word STEPS to 94253 and let us know how God is leading you, because we are here to help you continue growing in God. If you have preschool and elementary kids, why don't you hop on our YouTube channel for their Uptown and Midtown worship and video lessons. They are a lot of fun, and they are a great way to invest spiritually in your children. I want to encourage you, if you haven't done it today, hop on and watch. If you'd like to give online, you can do so at echochurch.cc and simply click on the give button. Or if you prefer the app, you can just click the give button on the echochurch.cc app. Listen, I cannot wait for next Sunday as we dive into the second part of this series, In God We Trust. Be praying about how you'd like to participate in the Legacy offering and make plans to join us in person or online for Legacy Sunday, November 22nd. All right, guys, follow Jesus with your whole life this week. Know that you're not alone. We are in all of this together. And as we trust God with our whole lives, He is faithful. Remember this week, where's your weight? You can trust God even when you don't understand. You can surrender everything to the God who's in control of it all. Hey guys, we love you. We are here for you, and we will see you next week.